Our Father, thank you that you have given us such a sure foundation in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how they faithfully recorded the words that you gave them, Lord, because we surely know what a mess man could have made with the things that you have said if they weren't written down through the ages, Lord. We would have tweaked it. We would have changed things. But Lord, we have your sure word, and we thank you. And we thank you that in your sure word are such rich teachings in the parables, and we can't wait to start digging in to find out what you want to teach us, Lord. So use this morning to just prepare us and teach us this morning, Lord. And we ask this and thank you that we can in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. It's so good to see you. Like I said, Sunday it is BBSD, and you have chosen to make it back to Bible study day, not back to busy San Diego. You are here, and I am blessed to see your faces. But I realize as I look at you, there's a gamut of emotions going on right now in all of us, isn't there? You know, and because we've got these preconceived ideas of what Bible study might be like, and you know, there's nervousness and there's excitement. And I just got a copy of a newsletter from a church that I did a retreat this summer at, and their theme was Don't Look Back. And one of my messages I titled What We Must Forget. And so one of the articles in the newsletter was from a counselor that had gone to the retreat, professional counselor, and when she saw one of my titles was Things to Forget, she thought, oh, here we go, that Christian idea that, you know, we have to forget the things of the past, forget our trauma. They haven't affected us because we're new creatures in Christ. And she said, I chose a spot by the back door ready to walk out as soon as that speaker started speaking. I was ready for her to preach heresy, you know. And then another lady, she wrote, she said, I sat next to the speaker at dinner time on Friday night, and she didn't say much. And I started wondering, what could she possibly have to teach if she can't even talk at dinner, you know? And so I realized, you know, before retreats, before Bible studies, we have all these preconceived ideas. So some of you are excited. Some of you are excited to hear what I have to say. And some are excited for me to stop talking so you can hurry up and get into your groups and meet new people. And some of you are hoping I never stop talking so you don't have to go into your groups and meet new people. You know, some are looking forward to unexpected. Some are dreading it. But hopefully the gamut of emotions that you're feeling this morning don't reflect the conflict that these photos of my two grandsons will reveal about back to school day. Because you see here, you will see here, there we go. This is one very excited and one like, don't make me go, please, you know? And then here's again. See, there's a spiritual significance of me showing pictures of my grandchildren. I had to think of something. But see, many of you, all of you, really. Nobody made you come here today. So, and you that are nervous, you're not throwing these outward kind of fits like Ty has, but inwardly you're still kind of churning. Because the first days of being back to school can be intimidating, can't they? But it's my prayer that each and every one of you find belonging here and acceptance here, that you find love here. We have come here to study God's Word, to learn to live it. And the number one way of living God's Word is what? Loving God's people. That's what He wants for us. So it is my prayer, and it's a prayer of your group leaders, that in coming to this Bible study, you experience God's love, not only through the study of His Word, but through the love of His people. Now, our last Bible study, we were looking at the book of Mark, and I hope you came to love Mark like I did, those of you that came, because for me, getting a deeper grasp of the humanity of Jesus and all He gave up in heaven to put on weakness, to put on flesh, and the humiliation of flesh, and the suffering of flesh, and the rejection that He went through, for you and for me, it just put me in awe as we studied that book. Just so He could take us into His kingdom, He went through so much. Because you see, that's what Colossians 1:3 tells us God did for us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. God has taken the believer, delivered us from the grip of Satan, and placed us, transferred us into another kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus. Jesus came to tell us about that kingdom. We see that He said Himself in Luke 4:43, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I was sent. So what is this kingdom that we have been transferred to like? What privileges do kingdom dwellers have? What are kingdom dwellers supposed to act like? What are kingdom dwellers supposed to not act like? As we see, many of the parables answer these kinds of questions for us. Many of the parables begin with words like, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God is like. In other words, this is how the kingdom of heaven works. This is how you will function best and get the most out of it. And most important, this is how you will glorify the King of the kingdom. So the last Bible study we had in Mark, we looked at what Jesus did. This year, from September through May, we are going to look at what Jesus said through the parables. Now, next year, beginning with next September, Lord willing, what I would like to do is continue to look at what Jesus taught through His words on the Sermon on the Mount, through His words in the upper room and Lord's Prayer and things like that, because He has much to teach us. So what is a parable? They are stories used, using comparisons, using things of this natural life to bring understanding about the spiritual life, using natural comparisons to show us this is what the spiritual life is to be like. In Matthew 13:34-35, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, He did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundations of the world. Now that should perk us up. Wow. Parables are secrets that have been kept secret, truths that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world, and He's showing us what it means. But even the disciples wondered, why did Jesus do that? In verse 10 of Matthew 13, it tells us, and the disciples came and said to Him, why do You speak to them in parables? Here's what He said. It's a long one, Matthew 13:11-17. He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he who will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophet of Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Now, this is not saying God doesn't want them to understand. He's saying if they would see with their eyes, if they would listen to their ears, they would understand. God would work in their lives. God would heal them, but they won't. And then he continues, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and religious men long to see what you see, but did not see, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. You know, blessed. Blessed are the disciples. Blessed are Jesus' followers. Blessed are we as believers. Why? Because the secrets, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been revealed to us. That's no small thing. That should be exciting. You see, the unbeliever can't see spiritual things with their eyes or hear spiritual things with their ears. They can't tune into spiritual frequencies because their spirit hasn't been made alive. They don't get spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man, the unbeliever, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually understood Why is that? If we look up one verse in verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. What did Jesus tell his followers in John 14, 26? He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will, what? Teach you all things. So it is the Holy Spirit that teaches us and gives us understanding, not our intellect. Let me give you one more verse and we'll try to pull it together here. In Ephesians 1, 13, in him, in Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when you and I came to saving faith in Jesus Christ, we were sealed, stamped, she is mine, by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was deposited inside of us, who, among other things, gives us that privilege of understanding the spiritual truths that we could not understand before. Paul verified that in 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have freely been given to us by God. We understand those things simply by the power of the Holy Spirit. You now have eyes that can spiritually see. You now have eyes that can spiritually understand. Now, that's the privilege you have. That's the new power you have. But over and over and over again, Jesus reminds us that it's up to us to use the privilege. Let's look at his words quickly in the Gospel of Mark. How often he says, listen or hear. He says, listen. Behold, the sower went out to sow. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same message you use it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. When he had called the multitude to him, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. And lastly, in Mark 7:16, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And actually, I've got one more from Matthew that we had just looked at. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it. As believers, you and I have been given ears to hear spiritual truth. But see, we've got to listen, not just hear and let it go back out, but hear and listen. Listen for the purpose of understanding and doing and applying the truths of what is being taught. Unto us has been given to understand mysteries. Mysteries that even the great prophets of the Old Testament didn't get, even though they really wanted to. Now, not to sound cliquey, because we are not exclusive, anyone can join, but as believers, we are in the club. You know, we are. We can know things that people outside the club just don't get, just don't understand. Simply because, why? We know the secret password. And what's the secret password? John gave us to us in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be in the club, to be the children of God, to those who believe in his name. See, got that, or rather got Jesus? Then you're in the club. And all club members get to know the secrets of the kingdom. A lot of you may have been watching news and see that Dan Brown has another movie out, which I hope none of you go see, The Lost Symbol. From what I understand, it deals with the secrets of Freemasonry. And it's all about all these secrets that they have. And I think, oh, but I know the secrets of the kingdom. I know the secrets of the kingdom of God. How much greater than all this other stuff. So we are going to spend the next several months looking at mysteries. Mysteries that can be solved or understood and then used to enable us to better walk in the kingdom that we now have been transferred to, that we now belong to. Parables were not new just to Jesus, but the ability to understand spiritually came with the ones that Jesus taught. There were parables in the Old Testament. Remember the one Nathan told to David about the two rich men, one having lots of flocks and one having just one little lamb. And a traveler came, and the rich man came to the poor man and took his only lamb. And Nathan told that story, and David was agitated, and he was angry. How could that rich man do that? And remember what the words of Nathan to David? You are the man. You know, and David got it. Anyone else that might have been in the room, I don't know if anybody was, but they wouldn't have understood a word of what Nathan was talking about, would they? But David did. He was suddenly convicted of his sin with Bathsheba and understood the story well. See, it was a story for insiders only. Nobody else would get that story. But David and Nathan. Or take Samson. Now, he called his story a riddle. He said, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. And he was referring to a time that he tore a lion apart, and on his way home, when he saw the lion again, he saw that its carcass was filled with honey. You had to have been there, or been an insider like Samson's wife, to understand that riddle. But see, if you'd been there, you would have known. And we said, oh yeah, sure, I know exactly what you're talking about. We are told in Scripture to see and to knock and to be still, and God encourages fasting to show our seriousness. See, God likes that. He wants us to want something bad enough that we're willing to keep seeking, to keep knocking, to fast, to pursue, to slow down. That we see that His Word is worth slowing down and really listening and seeking. See, if we do, He will show us great and mighty things, secrets and mysteries. As we saw in Mark 4:24, the more we listen, the more He reveals to us. And that gets exciting. He hides treasures in His Word, you know, and they're just for us for the finding. And He hides so much in parables, but too often we read them so fast and we move on and say, don't get it. And it's like, oh, but there's riches in there. Slow down, ladies, and let's pull them out. Because this is how Jesus is teaching about this kingdom that we live in right now, today. We fail to understand the parables so often because we haven't slowed down enough to read them in context or just really ask the Lord, what does it mean? And all too often when someone explains them to us, we go, oh, I get it now. That was pretty simple. But that's not the same as slowing down and studying yourself, getting it for yourself, getting it at a deeper level as you will be talking in your group and then coming in for a message. Dale, in speaking about Joy Sunday, referred to Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And as the story goes, after the wall of Jerusalem was built, the people came to Ezra the scribe and said, read from us the book of the law of Moses. And it says he read to them for hours. And it says the ears of the people were attentive. And it says, so they read, many of the leaders read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. They gave the sense. I love that phrase. You know, that's the teacher's job, you know, to take what the Word of God says and give it sense. You know, it's not our job to take the Word of God and come up with our own theories and our own personality stuff and stories and personal agenda. It's our place to give the Word of God sense. That's important. That's crucial. And see, for the initial reading of the law, when that was being read, it says that the people mourned and wept. Why? Because when it was being read, they were convicted because they knew how many times they had violated the law. And interesting, after the teachers gave sense to what was being said, gave meaning, gave the heart of God to the people, Nehemiah stood and said to them, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he told them, go back and rejoice in the heart of the Lord. And so it's so important to us that we understand God's intention. Because how many times have we seen parables as judgmental, as condemning? And the goal of slowing down and studying these parables, that's the Lord, through this study, is going to give sense to them. His chosen result of giving sense to us is that we walk away with joy, not sorrow, not beating ourselves up. In her book, Live Deeply, Lenya Heisek gives an example of a riddle. Now, by definition, riddles are mind teasers, and often the obvious is hidden within them, and we miss it because we're looking for something else. And I find that so true about parables. We miss the obvious because we get distracted by something. Now, I want to take the example of this G-R-Y puzzle. Well, it's going to take a little thinking here. Think of the words ending in G-R-Y. Angry and hungry are two of them. There are only three words in the English language. What is the third word? Hint, the word is something that everyone uses every day. You know the word? You know it, Don? See, if you've listened carefully, I just read the word to you. The first two sentences have nothing to do with the riddle. Now, reread the actual riddle. There are only three words in the English language. What is the third word in the English language? What's the third word?
Language.
Got it? You're going to have to stare at a light out. Now, remember, riddles are intellectually discerned. So if you're feeling really stupid right now and you're thinking, how am I ever going to understand a parable? This is exactly why I can't understand them. I can't understand that. The difference between these kind of riddles and parables is riddles are intellectually understood, and you've got to think intellectually to understand that. Some of you are still staring at it. I'm not going to be able to move on, I can tell. But parables, see, you don't have to be smart intellectually to understand a parable because they are spiritually understood. And that's very encouraging for us. Now, you see, just there are only three words in right here. Three words. One, two, three. What is the third word? One, two, three. Language. Ah! It's okay. When I first read it, I thought, I have no idea what she's saying. But it's just so often that what I want to encourage you about is we read parables and we do that same sort of thing. I don't get it. You know, I can't. I'm not smart. It has nothing to do with our intelligence. But see, parables have to do everything with how we spiritually think, but really how we spiritually listen. And that's what Jesus has said all the time. He doesn't say, be smart, use your head, you know, use your brain. And you notice when he says parables, he doesn't say, use your brain here, people. What does he say? Use your ears, use your spiritual ears, listen, and the Holy Spirit will give you understanding. Now, why parables are not riddles, they have something in common because we must carefully listen to understand their true meaning. There aren't phrases in parables that are put in there to trick us like there are in riddles. But too often in parables, we do that same thing. We look for the complicated answer when the answer is not complicated. And we're distracted in a parable by something that is not important. See, a parable fits the context of when Jesus told it. And it explains a spiritual point that comes right before or right after the parable. So what we want to look at when we're trying to understand any parable is what's the context here and what's the spiritual point that Jesus is talking about, because that's what the parable is trying to help us understand. The Greek definition of parable is to place aside another. And that's so often what Jesus was doing. Placing a story about natural things, things of this life, alongside spiritual truths to help us understand what he was teaching. See, the examples he gave were real examples. things we can relate to, things we can understand. Our place is to listen and to seek Him as to how these things apply to us spiritually. Remember, the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete. He's the one that comes alongside us and gives us understanding. The understanding, again, so important, comes from Him, not our intellect. Now, one place people get tripped up in interpreting parables is that they try to get a spiritual meaning out of every object in the parable. In doing that, we lose what Jesus is trying to do. Our place, our goal should be to get the message of the parable. Our place is to get the spiritual principle. We should never try to establish doctrines from a parable, but rather parables help us understand doctrines. You know, it's interesting. We don't use that word parable in teaching today. As far as a teacher, I don't think I can think of anyone that got up and said, "Today I'm going to give you a parable." I don't know why we don't do that. I think it's because we relate parables to Jesus and we don't ever want to step on His holy ground. But we tell parables all the time when we're teaching. You know, anytime I'm teaching, one of the first things I do is I go back and say, "Okay, Lord, give me an analogy to help them understand this spiritual principle. Give me a life story that we all can relate to that can help us understand something spiritual." And they help, don't they? Stories that we can relate to and understand help us to understand teachings of the Bible. Monday night, Dale was watching the Chargers game, and I was being a dutiful wife sitting next to him while he watched it. I never get that, you know? Your husband's like that. It's like, sit with me and watch the game. They don't talk to you. They don't relate to you or anything, but they want you right there watching the game. So I was doing that. And I watched this guy on a Charger team, you know, the Philip Rivers threw the ball, the quarterback, and he was backing up to catch the ball. And while he was backing up, someone from the Raiders team came up full force from his back and just hit him really hard and just knocked him flat. And I said to Dale, "How do they ever catch a ball again, knowing that that could happen at any time?" You know, and he said, "Well, there's a phrase about that when someone's been hit that way, they said from there on, they hear the footsteps coming, and they've got to stop and tell themselves, block it out and catch the ball." And I thought in my mind, you know, because I'm always thinking, you know, how can I use analogies? I thought, oh, I can use that. I can use that. I can use that when I'm talking to husbands whose wives have been sexually abused. Because being men, they don't get it. They don't understand. They don't understand why their wives just can't move on. They, the husbands, they see themselves, you know, "I'm not the perpetrator. I'm safe. Why can't you see me as safe? What in the world does making love to me have to do with sexual abuse that you suffered many, many years ago?" And I see husbands say that all the time, and they're trying to understand, but they don't get it. But those of you that have been abused, you know, don't you? Once you've been hit, you always hear those footsteps. You always hear those footsteps. And so, in a parable, I could say, so what is it like for a survivor of sexual abuse? It's like being in a new game after you've been hit pretty hard, pretty often in the old games, and trying to tell yourself, when you hear the footsteps, they're not like the old ones. They're safe footsteps. They can be embraced. You don't have to stiffen up. You can relax. You can enjoy the new game. But the footsteps, you still hear them. See, that's something I think if I could tell a husband, they might relate to it a little bit. Because you that are insiders, when I told that, yeah, you relate. You that have not been through abuse, it's kind of like, okay, don't get it totally. But see, we that are insiders spiritually, we get to understand and relate to and own spiritual truths, the depths of them. Parables are Jesus' attempt to help us understand what He's teaching. So that should perk us up and make us really value a parable. Some parables we are familiar with, like the one we're going to be looking at in our first lesson, the story of the wise man and the foolish man, the wise builder and the one that built his house on the sand. We know that one pretty well. Others are going to be less familiar because some parables are just a few verses long. And when you get them in your homework, you'll probably realize, wow, I've read that, but I kind of just skipped over it, didn't get it. It was only a couple verses, so why not move on? But they're important too, and I think you're going to enjoy slowing down and looking at these parables that are not as familiar as the wise man and the foolish man or the story of the sower. When we became believers, we were translated to a new kingdom, a new city. So you used to live in the kingdom of darkness, clueless of spiritual things. Now you live in the kingdom of the Son of God's love, the kingdom of light. I still remember our very first weekend when we came down here to El Cajon. And this city was very, very unfamiliar to me. And you know what I did in the hotel room? First thing I did was I took out the Yellow Pages and I looked up restaurants. You know, something that might be familiar about this place. You know, what kind of restaurants do they have in El Cajon? And then I got the local little pamphlet, you know, to see what was going on in El Cajon. And you're all thinking right now, and I found out not much here, right? You know. But now I've been here 14 years, and it's like I've learned the culture, I've learned the people, and this is home to me. But I dig, and like a parable, you begin to understand. I want to know, if I'm going to live here, how can I best live here in this area of East County? If we live in the kingdom of the Son of His love, how can we best live here? Because His kingdom of the Son of His love isn't just heaven. It's right here and right now. That's where we live. How are we living? The parables are going to teach us how to best live it. Not just after we die, but right here and right now. The parables are going to show us how. So just to whet your appetite, because I am so excited, girls, this is going to be really, really good. So will you pray with me? Father, as we go off to our groups, I pray for each lady in here, Lord. Right now, would you speak to her as to which number of the room she should go to? Lord, some you're saying go back to the same group. Some you're saying try something new. Lord, make them really want the room that you want for them. Lord, because the room that you want for them is the very best room. And I pray that you would just bless their socks off this morning as they get to know one another and dig into this first lesson a little bit. Thank you again for revealing your secrets to us, Lord. In Jesus' name.